The Torah portion we have, we're going through kind of very fast, and now we're kind of stopping and centering in on this character, Jacob. Jacob is, this is kind of a weird time for Jacob in his life. Jacob is leaving Israel. We see him leaving Israel at the beginning of the Torah portion, which is Genesis 28. You can turn to Genesis 28. And remember what happened last week with Jacob, or last Torah portion, which was last week. What happened was Jacob got the blessing from his father Isaac, but it came at a real high cost, didn't it? He had to flee. He's leaving the family, the only family he's ever known, the only home he's ever known. He has the blessing, but he is on the run. And God spoke to his grandfather Abraham. God spoke very clearly, and he gave him promises, and he gave him the covenant of Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. And the covenant was a promise that he would have offspring, the Jewish people, that he would have the promise of the land, which Abraham never saw, but he was to have the promise of that land, the land of Israel. And of course, the last of the three promises is that all nations, not just his offspring, not just the nation of Israel, would be blessed through the faith of Abraham and through the covenant that God made with Abraham. We ultimately see that, of course, fulfilled in Messiah Yeshua. Now, God spoke to Abraham, but he didn't stop there. He renewed that covenant, those promises. He renewed it to Isaac, his son. All three of the promises about the people, the Jewish people, the land of Israel, and the nations being blessed, all the nations being blessed prophetically being fulfilled in Messiah Yeshua. So it wasn't just Abraham that had it. It was Isaac after him. And now we come to Jacob, the grandson, Isaac's son. And we see in this Torah portion, God is now speaking to Jacob the three promises, just like he spoke to Abraham and he spoke to Isaac. But there's more than just the three promises here. There is an encounter. There is what I'm calling the meeting. There's this encounter between the God of all creation and Jacob, where Jacob, yes, he gets the promises. Yes, he gets the covenant renewed. But there is a special meeting that's taking place. So let's turn right to Genesis 28, 10, and I want to talk about that meeting today. Genesis 28, we start in verse 10. Now Jacob left Beersheba, and went to Haran. He went towards Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. Now, he didn't have a My Pillow. They didn't have those by then. I can imagine this wasn't the most comfortable. But anyway, verse 12, I just had to say that. And he dreamed and beheld there was a ladder set up on the earth, and on top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Fascinating. Jacob's leaving Israel. He's going to Haran. Now, Haran, it was called Nahor a couple of weeks ago, right? And before that, it was called Haran. Those are two brothers of Abraham. But it's the same place. It's the same place that Abraham left to go to the nation of Israel, to go to the place that God called him. God called him out of Haran to Israel. So it's very interesting now that we have kind of the backwards happening, the exact opposite happening. He's going back to Haran to get a wife for himself, Jacob is. This is the same place that Eliezer, remember, Abraham's servant, went out from Israel to Haran, called Nahor at the time, to go get a bride for Isaac. And now we have the same thing happening. And Jacob is leaving, and this meeting, this encounter is happening inside the land of Israel, but as he's leaving, Beersheba is in the south of Israel. If you've ever been there, it's in the south. It's in the Negev. And he's going through the heartland, so to speak, of Israel. He's passing through by Jerusalem. And about 10 miles north of Jerusalem, there's this town that the Canaanites call Luz, L-U-Z. But Jacob renames Bethel, house of God. And it's there, at that place, that Jacob has this dream. Now, what is going on with this dream? Because Abraham didn't have this kind of a dream. And Isaac didn't have this kind of a dream. And Jacob gets this really weird dream. God is at the top in heaven. You know, you can see the clouds parted and, you know, God's standing up there in heaven. Jacob is down at the bottom on earth. And the first thing that we see here is a separation. There is a separation between God and Jacob in this dream. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verse 2. You know, God is everywhere. We know that. God is with you and I. He's around here right now. He's in China. He's everywhere. He's also up in heaven. And there's a lot of scriptures that tell us about God's habitation in heaven. Ecclesiastes 5, 2 says this, "Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few." The point is, God is up there. He's ruling and reigning. We're not ruling and reigning. We're down here. There's a clear separation. But, however, Jacob's dream shows a connection, shows a ladder or a bridge. And this bridge shows angels going up and down, ascending and descending on the ladder. Now, angels, we know, are messengers from God. God sends his angels to visit with people, to talk to people, to fight battles in the heavenly realms around us that we can't see. And many of the commentaries say that one of the theories of this angels up and down is that the angels, as Jacob is leaving the land of Israel, the angels that were protecting him in Israel are going up the ladder back to heaven. And the angels that are going to protect him outside the land of Israel in the diaspora are coming down to go protect him. Now, whether or not that is true or not, that is one interpretation. But there's other things going on here. So, verse 12 of Genesis 28, the Hebrew word for this ladder, this bridge, is sulam. And it means ladder or it means steps. These are steps that are going. Now, whatever exactly it looked like, it was a connection point. It was either a ladder or a series of steps or something in Jacob's mind that he saw in his dream. And we're left with trying to understand what's going on here. Why is God giving Jacob this dream? And why didn't God give the dream to Abraham? Why didn't God give the dream to Isaac? I don't know, maybe if I'm the only person that thought that, but it's like the same promises, but it's a different type of meeting. It's a different type of meeting. And so, remember, and I think this is what the Lord spoke to me about, is Jacob is leaving Israel. This was not an entirely happy trip that he was taking, right? And he didn't know when he was going to be back. He didn't even know if he was going to be back. Jacob was feeling the wrath of his brother Esau. Remember Esau, that guy, the hunter? Not the guy that dwelled in the tents, right? In the tents. He was the guy that went out there and killed things professionally and brought them back. You know, Esau was a hunter and he was after Jacob. We know this. He was very upset because Jacob got the blessing. Yes, Jacob was going to get a wife. Yes, Jacob got the blessing from his father Isaac. But this was a very uncertain and kind of scary time, I think, for Jacob. He was left alone, probably for the first time in his life. He was leaving the land that Abraham had told Isaac, "Don't leave the land. I'll send my servant out to go get a bride for you. Don't leave the land of promise." And here's Jacob leaving the land. It's kind of interesting. Israel, the land of Israel, represents always in the scripture blessings. Always. Every time we talk about the land of Israel, whether it's the wilderness experience going into the land of blessings, it's always a place of blessing. It's a place of living with God, quote unquote. The diaspora, the lands outside of Israel, always represents exile for the Jewish people. And Jacob is the father of the Jewish people. He's renamed Israel later. So this is a really weird time for Jacob, a very uncertain time. And we see, first point this morning in this, is God meets us where we are. Jacob was not in the best place in his life. Jacob was not in probably the best headspace, very uncertain time, very scary time, very lonely time, but God meets us where we are. Turn with me to Isaiah 43. The book of Isaiah, there was a couple of scriptures on this one, but I feel like Isaiah 43:2 really said, I think, what we're trying to say here. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." Translation, wherever you are, I'm going to be with you. Whether it's in a really great place in your life or a not so great place in your life, God is with us. It's easy to say God is with us when everything is going great in our lives, right? But it's also easy to say God is with us when we've done all the right things and we're like squeaky clean and, you know, we can't remember, you know, 10 sins we did last week, maybe only a few. You know, where we're in a really good place with God, we kind of feel like we're with God. I don't think Jacob was feeling that. I think he was in one of those other places where things aren't going so great and this was not part of the plan. At least this is what Jacob thought was going to happen. But God was with Jacob and God is with you and I. Psalm 23, verse 4. Go there. I love that psalm because everybody knows that psalm. That psalm is a psalm of comfort. And it's not a psalm of comfort when everything's great. It's a psalm of comfort when everything is very dark and very lonely and very frightening. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The Bible is full of examples of people going through these kind of difficult times that Jacob went through. Circumstances, wilderness experiences, fiery furnaces. I mentioned fiery furnaces. That could not have been good when you're facing a fiery furnace, right? But God was always with them. You may be going through a very difficult set of circumstances. You may be going through whatever, illness, problems in your life, but God is with you because God was with Jacob as God is with us all. We have to know that. That's the first point today. Now go back to Genesis 28. We're going to go back to verse 12 and look at what else is going on with this strange dream. And again, I'm always struck with Abraham and Isaac didn't get this dream. Jacob got this dream. And I think God was sharing some things with Jacob, telling Jacob some things. God is with him. I am with you, Jacob. Genesis 28, 12. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Now, verse 12, we could go on and on about for many different reasons. And I want to look just at the geography of the verse. The geography, as I said, is God is way up there, and Jacob is way down here. God is in heaven, Jacob is on earth. There's a gap between them. And in a spiritual sense, all scripture we can use for teaching and understanding. There is literal interpretation of this. Obviously, he had the dream. The dream appeared, you know, he had this actual dream. But spiritually speaking, when there's a separation between us and God, it's because of one thing, and that thing is sin. Sin is the cause of a gap or a separation in our lives from us not being connected with God. Because of our sin. Isaiah, let's go back to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. And there's many scriptures, even in Isaiah, that talk about this. Isaiah 59, 2. But your iniquities, that's another word for sin, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you, so he does not hear. We say it many times, God cannot be with sin. God cannot fellowship with sin. God had to take Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden when they sinned. God has to separate himself when there is sin. That's why he goes through all that rigmarole in the Torah about being holy and being with God. When the tabernacle is there, when the Shekinah comes down, God wanted everything. He had to have 7 days of cleansing of the priests. He had to have the people spend 3 days before Sinai, before they could come, and he could come with them and connect with them. There is a separation, and it's caused by sin, and God cannot be with sin. We have willfully distanced ourselves from the Lord by choosing our own paths in our lives. God, in his great mercy and love, meets us where we're at, point number one, but it's not the place we're supposed to stay at. This is, you know, come as you are is the adage, but don't stay there, you know, move farther, move closer, go towards the Lord. That's the starting point. This dream was the starting point in Jacob's walk, really, with the Lord. It wasn't the end. This was the beginning of Jacob's journey, and God wanted to link up with Jacob. That's point number two. God shows us the way to him. He is not going to allow us to stumble in the darkness, to stumble in the valley of the shadow of death. He provides the rod and the staff. He provides the light. Your light, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 105. This is the way that God is connecting with Jacob. God is showing Jacob the way to him. And God is showing us the way to him also. And I'll show you that because prophetically, this is prophetic for us. John chapter 1, verse 51, go there. We know that the ladder represents more than just a ladder. We know it because Messiah Yeshua told us he is the ladder linking us with God. John chapter 1, verse 51, and he, this is Yeshua talking, said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Those steps, that ladder, was Yeshua prophetically, and it is Yeshua for us today. This is the ladder connecting us to God. Because of the sin, there's separation, but because of the ladder of Yeshua, there's reconnection. John 14, go a few chapters ahead. John 14, verse 6. This is really important because there's not multiple ladders. You know, when you go to the hardware store, there's all these different ladders. One time I had to go buy a ladder at Lowe's, and I was like, which one do I get? I mean, there's one here that's really cheap. There's one here that's really expensive. There's a bunch of stuff in the middle. You know, my nature, I was like, let's go with the cheap one. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I went with the middle one, and I'm still happy to this day with the ladder, by the way. And I didn't have to spend all that money. But John 14, 6, there's one ladder when you go into that store, the Lord's store, and it's a beautiful ladder, and it's the ladder of Yeshua. John 14, 6, Yeshua said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's Yeshua talking to us. God shows us the way to him through Yeshua the Messiah. Remember, Jacob was alone. Jacob was wandering. Jacob was out, going out of the land of promise. He knew he was going out. He was still in it, but he was leaving. It's got to be a horrible feeling. God met him where he was, and God showed himself to Jacob. You and I are wandering. We don't know where we are sometimes, right? Feels like we're in a desert many, many times, especially this year. And we're out of connection many times with God. We're feeling distant. We're feeling separated from God, and Yeshua is the ladder back to God. Now let's continue reading back to Genesis 28. Starting again, we're going to go 13, 14, and 15 now. God shows him the ladder, but God doesn't stop there. Verse 13, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord.'" Now this is the capital L-O-R-D. This is God telling him who he is, the unpronounceable name of God, Tetragrammaton. This is the name. "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the east, to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So there it is. There's the three blessings again, the three promises again. Verse 15, "Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you." Now, the God of all creation, speaking to Jacob, reassuring Jacob. Remember, Isaac never left, or Isaac did leave for a time, but not for this reason. Isaac never left to go find a bride. He didn't go back to Haran. Abraham wouldn't let him. Jacob has to go back. Jacob has to leave. But God is telling him, "I'm going to bring you back. This is your land. Your offspring will be here, and you will be a blessing to the entire world." God is, first of all, in verse 13, he's identifying himself to Jacob. He's saying, "This is who I am." It's a personal thing. Jacob undoubtedly must have heard from his father and his grandfather about the Lord. It's one thing to hear about God, and it's another thing to have a personal encounter with God. Amen? When you know about God, you can be very, very knowledgeable. You can tell other people things. But when you have a relationship or when you have an encounter with God, you are forever changed. And Jacob was having a personal encounter with the living God, like his grandfather and his father in front before him. And God is identifying himself, giving the promises, and issuing these words of comfort to him. He's giving him the land, he's giving him the offspring, and he's giving him the promise as he's leaving for exile. Point number three here, God gives us a future in him. There are many ways out there. None of them gives you a future in the Lord. None of them gives you a lasting future. But God gives us a future in him. If we stay in him, if we connect up with God, there is a hope, there is a comfort, there is words of encouragement, and there is a future for us in God. Now, how amazing must this dream have been to Jacob? Imagine what he was feeling. And I don't know about you, but if God said things to me, like, I'm going to bring you back, I'm not going to leave you, those are the kind of comforting things I think I would have wanted to hear then, as I'm left alone with this terribly hard pillow, you know, out there in the middle of nowhere that I really don't know where I am. Nothing, got nothing. And all of a sudden God's saying, I have a future for you. Don't worry, I've got this. There's blessing, there's future, there's a hope. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 10. Hundreds and hundreds of years later, when the descendants of Jacob had sinned and were sent away into exile, this time to a place called Babylon, God says this through the prophet Jeremiah to them. Jeremiah 30, verse 10. Then fear not, O Jacob, my servant, declares the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from far away, and your offspring from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return and have quiet and ease, and none shall make him afraid. Now the descendants of Jacob were undoubtedly feeling probably similar to Jacob at that point. Alone, God is done with me, I screwed this up, whatever it might have been. And God is tender words of encouragement to them. Jacob, of course, is a term used for Israel. So when it says, O Jacob, it refers to the nation of Israel, because we know that Jacob, later on, we're going to read about it later, he has this encounter, like a major encounter with God, right? Where he's wrestling with God, and God changes his name from Jacob to Israel, although he is still called both names after that even. But this is a picture, this is a prophetic picture of his descendants. And this was at an extremely low point for the nation of Israel. They were definitely in exile because of sin. They were definitely sitting there and weeping by the water, as the psalm says, by the waters of Babylon, we wept for Zion. We wept when we remembered what we had, and now it's gone. God is saying, I'm not done. Now, go back one chapter to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Future words of comfort to a grieving nation. Future words of comfort to grieving individuals, and future and words of comfort to you and I today. Jeremiah 29, 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. This is the character of the God that we serve. When Jacob was fleeing because of all the things that had gone on, God was comforting him, giving him a future and a hope. This can apply to our lives on a personal level. God was speaking comforting words to Jacob. God is speaking comforting words to you today. He's speaking comforting words to me today. That is the character of God. People have all these perceptions and ideas of who God is, and they have no hesitation about telling us that. But we know who God is because of what the Word says He is. He is comforting. He is a loving God. He is giving us a future and a hope, even in the midst of our problems and our issues and all of our shortcomings. Now go back to the Torah portion one more time. Genesis 28. We're going to start now with verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob wakes up from this amazing and intense dream, and he says, God was here. And guess what? When I laid down, I didn't even realize it. It just looked like a normal place, you know? It was just a bunch of rocks. I'm going to go pick this one, sit down, you know, lay down and sleep. He didn't know. It wasn't like this, you know, big opening and angels everywhere. It was just a normal place. He didn't even realize that God was there. You know, the Jewish sages teach that even in exile, even when going into exile, even when in exile, because of sin, God was still with Israel. This is a very big teaching in Judaism. God just didn't cast out the Jewish people from the land of Israel those times in exile and say, I'll see you later when you clean up your act. Thank goodness he didn't say that to us. He was with them, ancient Israel, in the exile. He's with us today. Genesis 28, verses 20 through 22. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. What does Jacob do after he wakes up from the dream? He realizes God was here. I didn't even realize this. It's the same place. He didn't get magically teleported somewhere new, somewhere beautiful where all this action's going on. Same exact place, but he has a different perspective, doesn't he? And he says, I'm going to turn things around. What Jacob does, and this is the last point today, point number four, Jacob acknowledges God. He has this turning point. He makes God his Lord. We need to choose God. Jacob had to choose. He had to realize God was there. It's the same place, but he just changed his perspective. He just changed his way of thinking. We need to recognize God is in our lives. He's been in your life all year when you've been sitting around at home, when you've been doing work or whatever you're doing. We have to say, I didn't realize this, but God is with me. God is in this place, and I need to choose him. Because verses 20 through 22, I'm going to do these things now. Jacob's got a different perspective. He's choosing God. He is choosing to actively choose God. Not just, oh, well, I heard about it from my dad and my grandfather. Heard about it from the parents. I'm just going to go to services. I'm just going to believe because that's what everybody tells me and expects of me. You and I have to have a personal encounter with God. If you don't have that, you're just going to be saying that, well, you know, this is just a normal place like any other place. No, God is here. God is with you. God is giving you a future, but you have to choose God. Go to Joshua 24, verse 15, last scripture today, but it's a good one. You know, we sang this song, and I told Kami before service began, I said, you picked that song out. I didn't know you picked that song out. I wrote the message, and I picked the scripture that goes along with the song as the last scripture today. We need to choose God. Joshua 24, 15. Hundreds of years after Jacob, there's famous words that Joshua says. Joshua's the new leader after Moses. They were finally going into the land of promise after having been out of the land of promise for 400 plus years. And he says this, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will acknowledge that God is in this place. We will choose God. We will choose to live for God. It's the same life before and after. It's the same place he was in before and after. The perspective is different. Is our perspective different? We have a choice. You can go your own way. You know that Fleetwood Mac song. Or you can go God's way. We can acknowledge God in our lives, or we can continue to live like we've been living, walking around in total ignorance that there's angels and demons fighting all around you. Walking around in total oblivion that there's things going on. God's moving around you. God's doing things in your life and you don't even notice it. We have got to acknowledge him. We have got to choose him. And we have got to say, he is our God, like Jacob said. That's our challenge today. Are we going to say, he is our God? Let's all stand. We're going to close our service. We're going to close with a blessing. And then I'm going to have the worship team play that song again and sing it. And if I could have the elders come up, we're going to do some prayer. If you need some prayer today, if you need that bump, if there's separation between you and God is kind of big and you don't know where the steps are and you need to acknowledge God,